So the Mond was central to the rise of industry in western Pennsylvania and the country, and pollution was one of the consequences. So how clean or dirty is the river now? Our reporters, Julie Grant and Reed Frazier, have been looking for answers, and they join me now. Welcome, guys.
Hey, Kara.
Hi, Kara.
We frequently see pictures of the Monongahela meeting the Allegheny to form the Ohio in downtown Pittsburgh, and the Mon is brown, while the other rivers are kind of blue or green. Does that mean the Monongahela is dirtier than the others? Why is it brown?
Well, the color of the Monongahela actually has to do with the river's unique geology and isn't a reflection of how clean or dirty it is. I spoke about this with Paul Zimkevich. He's former director of the West Virginia University Water Research Institute.
The Monongahela River is one of two large rivers in North America that flows north.
And he says this is important in the river's composition.
The Allegheny and much of the Ohio flow south, which means they were subject to glacial influence. So they have an entirely different bed geology. They're large gravel beds on the bottom, whereas the Monongahela is almost entirely shale and sandstone.
The glaciers that occupied North America during the last ice age stopped in western Pennsylvania, depositing lots of stone and dirt. That's all in the Allegheny River, but not the Mon. The Mon is basically mud on the bottom, which explains those pictures from the point in downtown Pittsburgh showing the muddy Mon flowing into the blue Allegheny.
So the Mon is muddy, but what kinds of pollution are found in the river?
Well, that can be difficult to answer. Back in 2019, the University of Pittsburgh held a series of meetings with experts from a variety of their relevant departments, what they called the Pittsburgh Water Collaboratory, and found that there was a lack of data about contamination from historical industrial pollution and water quality in the tributaries draining into the Ohio, the Allegheny, and the Mon Rivers in Allegheny County. In 2021, Pitt funded the Collaboratory and Three Rivers Waterkeeper, a nonprofit, in an effort to collect more data. They collected 100 samples from 25 locations in tributaries that feed the three rivers.
And what did they find in the Mon?
Well, they identified different categories of pollution. One of those, of course, is acid mine drainage. They found what they called consistently concerning concentrations of manganese in tributaries of the Mon and elevated concentrations of iron, which they attribute to abandoned mines within the Mon watershed.
Yeah, the biggest problem in the river continues to be the legacy of coal mining in the region. You know, before modern environmental laws, underground mines were constructed so that the water inside of them flowed outward and drained into and polluted nearby rivers and streams. And there were a lot of coal mines in the region, especially the Mon watershed, for over 200 years. Here's Paul Zimkevich again, formerly of the West Virginia Water Research Institute. He says that by the early 1970s, acid mine drainage, mostly from abandoned mines, was severely impacting the Mon.
That meant a lot of metals were getting into the river. The pH was depressed. There was essentially no fish life.
The Mon was essentially a dead river in the early 1970s, but that began to change with the advent of the modern environmental movement and modern environmental laws.
So, Julie, what other types of pollution did the Pittsburgh Water Collaboratory find in the Mon?
Well, they found high concentrations of nutrients in tributaries that feed into the Mon, mostly nitrogen and phosphorus. Well, nutrients might sound good. If concentrations are too high, it can trigger algal blooms. And excessive algae growth leads to lower oxygen levels, acidic water, and sometimes the death of aquatic life. We've seen this in Lake Erie and on the Ohio River.
And where are those nutrients coming from?
Well, in Pittsburgh, like many cities, when it rains, the rainwater mixes with untreated sewage and can overflow into the rivers. Nutrients also come from septic tanks, landfills, and waste disposal sites, construction, runoff from impervious surfaces like rooftops and parking lots, and also from industrial discharges. The collaboratory's testing also found high concentrations of cadmium in the streams that drain into the Mon. They call this a pollutant from both past and current steel production. Steel, of course, developed here because there was so much available coal. And the collaboratory says it's worrisome because cadmium can have negative health effects, and the Mon is a drinking water source for about 1 million people.
And there are other historical pollutants like PCBs in the river. PCBs are a class of chlorinated chemicals that were banned in the 1970s because of their toxicity. But before they were banned, they were produced by Monsanto largely for 50 years. They were used in a wide range of products and technologies. They proved useful as fireproofing and were used in things like electrical equipment. And PCBs are bioaccumulators, meaning they persist in the food chain. They're found in large enough quantities still that there's fish consumption advisories for fish caught in the Mon River and other rivers in the region.
There is also a history of pollution events in the Mon, right?
Yeah, one was in 2009 at Dunkard Creek, that's along the West Virginia border in the Mon watershed. There was a massive die-off of fish, salamanders, and freshwater mussels. Investigators believe that mine drainage laced with fracking wastewater triggered toxic algal blooms. There was also the Ashland oil spill. That was in 1988, about 20 miles upstream of Pittsburgh around Jefferson Hills. An estimated 1 million gallons of oil were released into the Mon. According to news reports at the time, around 23,000 suburban Pittsburgh residents did not have tap water for a week while the river carried the pollution past their water intakes. Dan Bain is a professor in geology and environmental science at Pitt, and he's the deputy director of the Water Collaboratory.
Where all of these small water providers, these drinking water providers along that Mon, have to turn off the Mon water as the water to make into drinking water. If you don't have a backup source, if there is something that fouls your primary source, the only option really is to shut down.
And there have been other pollution incidents. Bain also worries about the impact of shale gas development in the watershed and its impact on water quality in the Mon.
It's just one thing after another on the Mon. And that sort of allows us to slip into the thinking that it's expendable, that it's not something that needs to be fixed. It's already dirty, so what's the matter if it's a little bit more dirty?
So have there been any improvements in water quality over time?
Yes, there have been, Kara. The situation really began to improve in the 1970s with the passage of the Clean Water Act and modern environmental and mining laws, and the river life began coming back. There have been lots of projects to clean up abandoned mine drainage throughout the Monongahela watershed, and they're having an effect as the river now has a sizable fish population. Zemkevich said one of these areas is the Cheat River and Cheat Lake area in the Upper Mon watershed in West Virginia, where there's been lots of work done to clean up some of these abandoned mines.
If you ever drive over Cheat Lake in the summertime, you'll see fishermen, water skiers, people recreating on the lake that just didn't happen 15 years ago. The Cheat River itself is now a continuous fishery from the Monongahela River all the way up well above the mining areas.
And Dan Bain says the Water Collaboratory found that the manganese levels in groundwater that people use for drinking water is going down. He says even with all the historic and current pollution, the Mon should be seen as an asset.
It's a river that has come back. There's potential here that if we allow our imagination to fail us, it's kind of a tragedy.
And anecdotally, I was along the Mon recently in the Elizabeth area, not far from where the Ashland oil spill happened. People were fishing off the banks, and I spoke with a few of the older guys there who didn't want to give their names, but they remembered fishing in the Mon in the 60s and 70s.
And the river could catch on fire because there was so much oil on it. You'd throw out your line, at the end of the day, there'd be all grease on your line.
This man remembers that the river got cleaner for a while, but then the Ashland oil spill killed thousands of fish. The guys fishing lamented the loss of industry and jobs in the Mon Valley, but they say the fishing has gotten better.
Okay. Well, thank you to both of you.
Sure thing, Kara.
Thank you.
The Allegheny Front's Julie Grant and Reed Frazier are working on more stories for our Reporting from the Mon series. You can check out all of the reporting so far at AlleghenyFront.org. You're listening to The Allegheny Front. I'm Kara Holsapple.